This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This opening half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory. I went with Ford. The buying experience, Chris, the financing experience, everything fell into place perfectly for me. They will work with you to allow you to have that same kind of experience. And great pre-owned inventory, all with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, because they go over every vehicle with a fine-tooth comb. And a terrific service department. Quick lane, right? Inspections, routine, difficult. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Wednesday's show will be a fun and interesting one. Jack Ham will join us at 1:10 on Wednesday, and Dick Girardi on Penn State basketball at 1:35. Todd, surprise.
Thank you for doing my job.
I figured since I had the connections, I'd do it. I figured since I had the ability to call them up and say, yo, how about this? We can do that. They'll join us on Wednesday. So you're going to have to tell me about today and tomorrow. Tomorrow, I assume it's going to be Matt and Neil.
Nate's on at 2:05.
Today?
Today, yes.
Good. Well done. Well done. And then Neil and Matt tomorrow?
Yep.
I'm trying to think at this point of life what Matt has to be angry about.
At this point, there's always the Sixers.
Oh, they are the bailout, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yeah, I think the process has hit a snag.
Mm-hmm.
The process. Love the process. Process as only the NBA can do it. All right, so let's get to, okay. What haven't I been talking about all fall?
College football playoff.
Yes, I have not talked about it one time because I just didn't think there was a need to talk about it yet. Okay. Well, that moment has now come. Okay. The moment has now arrived. And there's a reason why the moment has arrived, because Penn State has arrived. They're in without question. Okay. That is not even an issue. I expect when the snapshot comes out tomorrow that Oregon will be number one, Texas will be number two, Penn State will be three, and I expect Notre Dame to be four. Now, let's point out what that also means because of how the tournament works. Okay? That means that two of those four teams will be in hosting positions. Right, for the college football playoff. Okay? Because they'll fall out of the top four. Reason, only conference champions occupy the top four. So Penn State, two things in my opinion will happen. A, win the game over Oregon, go right to New Year's Day. Now, how they're going to do New Year's Day, it's guesswork, but I'm going to guess the SEC champion will go to the Sugar Bowl. I'm going to guess the Big 12 champion goes to the Fiesta Bowl. I'm going to guess the Big 10 champion might go to the Rose Bowl. And I'm going to guess that the ACC champion might go to the Peach Bowl. Now, if the Big 10 champion is Penn State, maybe they go to the Peach Bowl. I don't know. Okay? But if I'm going to guess on the past, the way the past has worked, okay, I'm just rolling the dice a little bit here. And by the way, having fun doing it. Okay. So that's what it comes down to. Now, can a three-loss team make it? Yes. Okay. If Texas were to beat Georgia in the rematch in Atlanta, Georgia would have three losses, but they'll make it. Teams, in my opinion, are not going to be penalized for playing this weekend. The reason you're not going to be penalized is quite simple. It's actually in two areas. One, you're risking the extra game while everybody else is at home watching TV. So you're putting the risk out there for the extra game. Number two, you're also risking injury by playing the extra game while the other team's sitting at home. Okay, so you're not going to... I think there's a fear that, say, things don't go well Saturday night, Penn State will suddenly be 9th or 10th and they're on the road. No, that's not going to happen. Right? I'm using... Okay? The NCAA basketball model. I realize this is a different committee, but there are members of this committee that have NCAA tournament basketball committee experience. All right? So I'm using some of that in my thought process for this. And when you do that, the Big Ten is always last to play with these things. I've done two Big Ten tournament championship games, of which each time Penn State made the NCAA tournament. And each time the Big Ten tournament championship game was the last game to be played before the selection was announced. In fact, the last time, Dick and I were still doing the post-game show and had just finished the post-game show when Penn State was announced, okay, when we were at the United Center 2 years ago. Well, it's the same scenario here with this. What's the last championship to be determined? The Big Ten football championship, 8 o'clock Saturday night. It's actually going to be 8:15 will be the kickoff, okay? And at that point, the committee is not going to wake up on Sunday morning and go, oh my goodness, what do we do now? They're going to have scenarios already in place as to, okay, Oregon loses, we'll make them, quote, the 5 seed, let's just say that, and they'll host against whomever's 12. Or if Penn State doesn't win, we've got them seeded here. You know what I mean? They'll have those scenarios in place. Probably before the game begins, because it's the last game and it's just the last piece of the puzzle you're trying to get. I mean, I'm guessing a little bit, but I think that's how it's going to work. It's a little bit of a guess on my part, but I'm using NCAA basketball tournament experience to go in that direction. How about that? I don't know what your thoughts are, Todd. I mean, it's, you know.
That seems to be kind of what I've read this weekend, that whoever loses that game Saturday night probably ends up the five seed, which, you know, isn't awful. I mean, that means your quarterfinal opponent's probably, what, the ACC champ, you would assume?
Could be the Big 12 champ.
Yeah, it could be the Big 12 champ, too. I guess it probably depends what happens in the ACC.
Right, because I think everyone's assuming if Boise State's playing UNLV, does that sound right?
Yeah.
That if Boise wins, there's a good chance they get a first-round bye because it's the four highest-ranked conference champions. Well, right now, Boise State is ahead of anybody in the Big 12. They're actually ranked ahead. Now, Notre Dame cannot host. But remember, Jack Swarbrick, Notre Dame cannot get a bye. Okay, Notre Dame cannot get a bye. They obviously can host the opening round. But remember, Jack Swarbrick, the then athletic director at Notre Dame, was on this committee. Okay, he was one of the four. There were four people that helped put this together. Craig Thompson, who at that point was the Mountain West commissioner, Bob Bowlesby, who at that point was the Big 12 commissioner, Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, and Jack Swarbrick, the Notre Dame athletic director. They were the four that came up with this idea. So Swarbrick had to be one of those in the room that said, no, we're fine with that. We're not going to worry about having a first-round bye. So they were okay with it. So Notre Dame will get a home game out of this. There will be a playoff game in South Bend. And they will have earned it because of how they have played. Okay? And that's, I think that's going to be, and then who goes there, I don't know. Because there's been too many things that have happened. It was interesting last week, somebody pulled me aside last week, and they were complaining about the projections, and of course, I hadn't looked at the projections. People probably find it hard to believe, but I have not looked at a single projection the entire time because I just wanted to lock in on my job and broadcast the next game in front of me because I want to go back to what I said in the post-game show of the Ohio State game, right? And for people that listen to the show, they're like, oh, here he goes again. Okay. And I do understand, believe me. I understand. Right? And I said, I know today's result was not what people wanted. I said, but Penn State, it's a different era. Penn State is now in a four-game playoff to make the playoff. Well, the next week they went out and beat Washington 35-6. The next week after that, now it's a three-game playoff to make the playoff. They went to Purdue, won the game 49-10. Now it's a two-game playoff to make the playoff. They beat Minnesota 26-25. Right? Now it's a one-game playoff to make the playoff. They beat Maryland 44-7. Okay? And so they've accomplished that part, right? And it says a lot that a team knows that they keep winning, they're in it. And it's a huge accomplishment for this particular reason. By having one loss, they have now eliminated themselves from the opinion pool. Two losses, you're in the opinion. All right, what about this? What about, you know, this loss? What about this win? Where was that game played? That's the opinion pool. When you have one loss, the only opinion is of where to seed you. And that's where Penn State is. Now they get to play this game with Oregon, which obviously is a terrific team. But you know what's really odd about Oregon? And I was talking with Jack about this morning. When you sit down and you know, because it's really the first time I've run numbers on Oregon. Damn, because they weren't on any. I mean, when I sat down to do the early stuff in May and June, they're not playing Oregon. Okay? When you're going through the season, you're not thinking about playing Oregon. Right? So when I finally sat down yesterday and I put it together, and if you're asking whether my chart is done for the game, it is. I have finished it. Okay? You know what's incredible about it? The numbers are eerily similar. I think people think that Oregon's getting like 550 yards in total offense a game. No. Their offense per game is about the same as Penn State's. Their defense, their numbers, are about the same. The giveaway takeaway, Penn State's a plus 7, they're a plus 5. The suit's in the background yelling again. It's, can you control this guy? You need to control him, Todd. You got to control this guy. Okay? And that's what struck me about it, is how similar, just the numbers, the pure numbers. But, you know, but look, they have players. You know, Dillon Gabriel is a terrific quarterback. He is a terrific college quarterback. He may not be big in stature. He's probably just under 6 feet tall. But, man, he throws an accurate ball. It's like almost 74%. He can run. He's got a ton of experience. He's just a really good college quarterback. You just can't get around how good a college quarterback he is. James, the running back, quick, gets into the hole, makes plays, right? Really, really impressive. Ferguson, the tight end, right? Tyler Warren's probably the only tight end that's better than he is in the conference. And I would say probably Tyler's the best player, best offensive player in the conference. But, like, okay, right? And Tez Johnson at wide receiver. That transfer portal's where they went to for the wideouts and DBs and things like that. A couple other spots. Burr's kid at defensive end is a transfer from South Carolina, really good player. So is Uli Ungele, who's really good. Linebackers are good. Brandon Johnson, Tayshawn Johnson, the secondary, just good players, really good. But they don't have a boatload of interceptions back there. They have a lot of career interceptions. And some of that was done at other places. I want to say Tayshawn Johnson, who I think is terrific, does have three this year. And so they've got terrific personnel. But as I said today to a group, I said, look, I said, you're at the stage now where everybody you're playing is good. And guess what? You know what's really neat? Your team's good. That's what makes it neat. And we'll talk about the Ohio State-Michigan thing in a moment, because that was interesting in a lot of ways. Really, in a lot of ways, that was very interesting. So,
that was one of those things when it happened. I was already down in Philly, and I think I got about 8 texts in 30 seconds.
Yeah, I'll explain why. You know, like, because we were kind of glancing at it, but we were doing the pregame show at the time.
Oh, yeah,
you know, and it was like, okay, you know, here's one for you. All right, we'll take a break. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Let SMC be your MVP. With their all-star lineup of new Fords, Sunbury Motors has 31 of J.D. Power's best-in-class 2024 Ford Bronco Sports, discounted up to $4,250, and starting at just $28,815. SMC has 18 of the number one selling SUVs of all time, the 2025 Ford Explorer, slashed up to $5,300 and priced for just $43,920. Choose from over 40 of Motor Trend's number one ranked full-size truck, the Ford F-150. And Sunbury Motors has them reduced up to a whopping $12,416 with available 1.9% financing for 60 months. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. Remember, Sunbury Motors Ford gives you more for your trade.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, we'll talk about Ohio State, Michigan in the next half hour. And then Nate Bauer at 2:05. Neil Coolwong, Matt Catrillo tomorrow. Jack Ham and Dick Girardi on Wednesday.
That sounds like a pretty good week.
Yeah, I'll tell a quick story about that before I get into the... Actually, it's part of the Ohio State-Michigan story. You'll get a kick out of it.
If you're turning 65 or retiring soon, it's time to consider your Medicare options. Geisinger Gold Medicare Advantage plans start at $0 per month with access to more than 29,000 doctors and 100 hospitals across Pennsylvania, plus plan options that may include dental care, eyewear, and hearing benefits. If it's time for Medicare, learn about the many benefits of Geisinger Gold.
Geisinger Gold are HMO, PPO, and HMO T-SNP plans with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in Geisinger Gold depends on contract renewal.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, this half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They do a great job taking care of all your insurance needs because we don't just have an insurance need. We have multiple insurance needs. All right? And they handle it all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. All right, so I talked to my wife on Friday. And remember, I talked to you, Todd, about this. And that is, I said, you know, next week it turns out for whatever reason, and it's, I think it's because there's a high school wrestling match, right? And they're only letting the students in for it for Shikalimig on Friday.
Yes.
And so we're going to carry it here on WKOK. Well, essentially it's going to wipe out the show, so we're not going to do the show Friday. So I said to Kathy, I said, hey, I got a piece of great news. She goes, great. I said, you know, I got the game on Thursday with Purdue, but on Friday, I'm wide open. And I said, I have no games next weekend. I'm good. I said, she goes, oh, great. We can make some plans. I said, sure, absolutely. Let's make some plans. That's great. So then Saturday happens, and I'm watching the Michigan-Ohio State game, which, by the way, was about as offensively about as poorly played a game as I've seen in a long time. I'm looking. Now, part of it is during the pregame show, you're kind of glancing over. Well, I glanced over just in time to see a missed field goal. I glanced over just in time to see another missed field goal. I glanced over just in time to see an interception in the end zone of what should have been a touchdown, and Sawyer, the defensive end, made a great play, right? Okay, so, right? Well, the game's over. Michigan wins. So I mentioned on the broadcast, Michigan wins. I didn't think much about it at the time. Because, you know, we're about to launch into the game, right? And I'll be honest with you. I really was so focused on just the game, and the Penn State wins, they would automatically, in my opinion, automatically get into the college football playoff. That's all I was thinking about. Well, I finally got to halftime, and I said to Jack, I said, you know what? I said, because of the Indiana situation, you know, let's face it. I mean, they were the prohibitive favorite against Purdue, and then they ended up winning 66-0. They kept their starters in the whole game. They were merciless. And I said, I better check. I said, let me go check with Chris Peterson and see, just on the tie-breaking thing, just to make sure that we're safe and we know on the tiebreakers where Penn State is, because I never looked. So I go up and I said to Chris, she says, yeah, we've gone through all the tiebreakers. Penn State has all of them but two, but the first six or seven are all Penn State. That's why, you know, it's automatic Penn State's in. I said, okay. So I went back down, finished the game. Then after the game, you know, I don't know, what's the temperature? 24 degrees, wind chill's like 9. Okay. I'm like, what the heck? Bob Brumbaugh, Ron Moeller, Jack Ham, and I are in the parking lot having a beverage. Okay. And we only had a beverage. That's all the body could tolerate. At that point, you're like, a beverage. Okay, let's get out of here. I'm going to drop Jack off at the hotel, go home. I go home and I said to Kathy, I said, there's been a change of plans. She's like, there's been a change in plans. Okay.
I'm guessing she's been married long enough to you to know that that was a possibility.
Yep. And so I was like, just so you know, I said, I got the game Thursday night. Okay. And just so you know, I said, then on Friday morning will be Fast Friday in the morning, and I'm getting on a plane at noon, and I'm flying to Indianapolis Friday for a Saturday game. She looks at me, she's like, she understood. She understood. She's like, no, I got it. He said, this is exciting. I said, yeah, it's exciting.
She didn't come home and say, honey, what do you think about Indianapolis in the wintertime?
That didn't come up. It's like, let me put it this way. Like, I'm not America's brightest bulb, okay? But I'm not that dumb. I'm not that dumb. So, yeah. Now, as for the game, I'm watching the game. Now, you didn't see it at all, did you?
No, I did not see Ohio State Michigan at all.
And I barely, like, out of the corner of my eye, because we're trying to do our show. You know, Brian, Jack, Roger. And I'm sitting there, and in commercial breaks, you know, because you're trying to pay attention to the questions, the topics, you know. Sometimes you hit a little low in questions, and Roger will ask you, hey, guys, what do you guys want to talk about? And so we kind of gave Roger like three or four different topics. Hey, how about this? How about that? Right? But then you take a moment and you glance over. I'm thinking to myself, I can't figure out how Ohio State's not winning this game by at least 10 points. I know they're a 20-point favorite. I couldn't figure it out. And I said to Jack, I said, I don't understand why every time I look, besides the missed field goals and the interception, every time I turn around, it's a turnover. It's crazy, right? So I don't understand. I said, with their wide receivers and Johnson out of the game, Will Johnson did not play. This is one of the truly excellent lockdown corners. Okay. In the Big Ten, Will Johnson is a terrific player. Why weren't they going tempo and using those wideouts and getting Michigan off balance? I could never figure out. I could never figure that out. When this is the snippets I'm watching. I'm only watching in snippets. Now, the area where I knew that Michigan would dominate Ohio State, the one area, guess which area that was?
going to guess offense or Ohio State's offensive line versus Michigan's defensive line.
Because Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant are two major league NFL defensive tackles. They are big, big time. Now, if they both stay healthy, they've got 10-year NFL careers, Todd. I think they're both that good. And Ohio State has that revamped offensive line. They, you know, two of the starters are out for the year. They've had to shuffle things around. So you knew that, like, that was going to be a tough, tough matchup for them. And they kept trying to run. Every time, like, what are they running the ball for? I didn't get it. But again, somebody call me and tell me if I'm wrong about this, because you probably out there, I'm going to guess, the vast majority of you listening to the show watch the game more intently than I did and probably have exponentially better opinions based on me just glancing over once in a while.
The story I read Sunday morning was essentially I think the Ohio State beat writer for The Athletic was basically his point as well, is, you know, they had the advantage on the outside. Why were Chip and Ryan running constantly? And I wonder what's going to happen to him. I mean, it sounds like, you know, they sound like it's going to be more his decision than Ohio State's, just because it sounds like his family's not having fun in Columbus over the last 2 years.
No. You're talking about Ryan Day?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Ryan Day's making a lot of money, so I understand that. Just because he makes a lot of money doesn't mean that you're treated like the scourge of the earth, okay? And especially his family.
And I'm sure we'll get into the post game, and his reaction to that was a little strange too. Did you see that video of him after the game?
I have not.
He just kind of, he looks like he's in his own little world, staring off into space, and Jack Sawyer runs by after taking the flag, and he just looks at him and says, "What's going on?" Like, he watched that whole thing. He did not get into the scrum at all or anything. It sounds like from the Ohio State son that they were just absolutely stunned. I think they thought that this was the year to break the streak, obviously.
Right. But can I talk about this flag planting thing for a moment?
Yes.
I don't get what's going on in sports today. Right? Now, yeah, everybody knows James out at USC stopped. I'm not going to say which player. I know which player. Stopped a player from doing it at USC. Okay? So James stopped it. Right? Boom. So it didn't happen. But, like, Florida had to deal with it. Ohio State, Michigan had to deal with it. What are you doing? Just be happy you won the game. Go down, celebrate with your band. Go down and celebrate with your fans that made the trek to the game and then get to the locker room. I don't get it. I don't understand that part. I know it's a rivalry. I know it's intense. I realize there's a hatred and blah, 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 and so on and so forth. But my goodness gracious. I mean, I don't understand where we're coming from with this. There's a need to do it. Now let's get to the reaction on the field. The reaction on the field, where the police come in and they're pepper spraying people. Well, there are people that had nothing to do with it. They're getting pepper sprayed. Right? And I've listened to interviews earlier today when I was driving over to Hoops Club and then over to here that were done with people that were on the field. And they said there were people on, you know, like sitting down on the field after their eyes are watering and things like that. Right? That had zero to do with what was going on. Like, why? I mean, but we talked about the Michigan tunnel.
Yes.
A long time ago, how it makes no sense. And actually, USC is the same way. One tunnel, two teams. That makes no sense. Well, Ohio State has two tunnels, two locker rooms. Great. Except Ohio State is on the near sideline, and they enter from the far tunnel, so they have to go across the field to their tunnel. Meanwhile, the visiting tunnel, they have to go from the far sideline to the near tunnel and cross the field. Where does that make sense? It's like, what are we doing here? But people have to get control of themselves. I don't get why. I don't get it.
The Baker Mayfield thing was like 5 years ago, and it didn't spark, you know, a bunch of this. And then all of a sudden, this week, well, this year, I don't know what I don't know if trend's the right word, but I don't know what started it, why they all decided they had to do it this year.
I mean, again, I'll give you one, like, just in terms of game. Like, you always talk about how the second person on the field gets caught when there's an altercation, the response. And I realize the temptation to respond in the moment, right? I got it. The other guy started it, right? But if you walk away, you're going to get the 15 yards, right? Like, think of the team, right? And I know in the moment it's hard to do, but when it comes to, like, something like that, there's no need to do it. You already won the game. Just enjoy it and celebrate it. Am I wrong about that, Todd? Am I missing something? I mean,
I'm normally not one to be, you know, whatever they want to do, but I don't. It seems to be an active act of provocation. How's that? Like, you know, if you're going to run to the middle of the field and plant your flag on the home field of your rival, that it's going to elicit a response.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you know you do that. They're not running over there to pat you on the back for the job well done.
Right, I know. I understand that.
Did you see what Iowa did?
I did not.
Well, so, you know, Nebraska wouldn't shake Iowa's hand at the coin toss
on Friday. Oh, for goodness sakes.
Apparently, Nebraska went to the walkthrough, and they pray at the 50 after their walkthrough, and Iowa had armed guards surrounding the Hawkeye, so they couldn't pray.
Okay.
Like, it's just a piece of turf, people. It's not even... They're not even raised.
Yeah, I know. You know what? The logo used to be on the carpet in the locker room. Now this is before they changed it. And so if anybody stepped on it, you had to do, I don't know, I think it was 10 push-ups or something like that. And, you know, that was just a locker room thing. And went to Andre Ware, the Heisman Trophy winner, came in to do a Penn State game. And when he came in, he accidentally stepped in the logo, and he did the push-ups. You gotta give him credit. Like, okay. Yeah, I mean, give him credit. He did it. But, like, that's just, like, one of those, like, cutesy, you know what I mean? Locker room things, no big deal, nobody sees it, whatever. Like, protecting the logo and the whole thing, you know, they're just going to go out and pray. They're not disrespecting your logo. I
guess I just don't get it. There's nothing in my life that I take that super seriously, that a logo needs a police guard.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. But you know what? The flag planting thing.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I mean, I don't get it. You know, you won the game. You feel great. There's no need to disrespect them. The scoreboard already tells you, like, how it turned out, right?
Pretty much.
I don't know.
Didn't somebody stop one this week, too?
Well, I think Florida did.
Well, I was going to say, they did have a scrimmage at Florida State, but I think somebody else went out to plant one this week, too, and the coach stopped them. It was one. Oh, I know who it was. It was, I was going to say Tom Herman, but he's not the Texas coach anymore.
No, it was Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah, it was Steve Sarkisian stopped them from doing it at Texas A&M.
Yeah, but why do you want to do it? That's what bothers me about it. You won the game. Just like shake hands, go to your locker room, and have yourself one great time. Okay? Right? I mean, it's emotional. I don't get it. I don't get it. Right. I don't know. It really. I don't know. I don't get it. Maybe it's just the get off my lawn old man thing. I have no idea. I don't know. It's just I don't get it. I mean, it's something that I wouldn't even think about doing. I think I framed it pretty well. Like I said, James stopped it at USC. Like, okay, so the message is sent. If you're a Penn State, you don't do that, right? The head coach set the tone, just like Billy Napier talked about that after the game. He was disgusted about it. Okay, I realize these are 18 to 22 year olds. I got it. But you gotta show some leadership and maturity, don't you?
At some point.
I'm hoping.
Sharon Moore wasn't real happy with it either, so.
Right. No, a head coach is not gonna sit there and be happy with it. No head coach worth their salt is gonna be happy about it. So I completely understand that and I respect that. Okay, we'll take a break. Nate Power, next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Let SMC be your MVP. With their all-star lineup of new Fords, Sunbury Motors has 31 of J.D. Power's best-in-class 2024 Ford Broncos Fords, discounted up to $4,250 and starting at just $28,815. SMC has 18 of the number one selling SUVs of all time, the 2025 Ford Explorer, slashed up to $5,300 and priced from just $43,920. Choose from over 40 of Motor Trend's number one ranked full-size truck, the Ford F-150, and Sunbury Motors has them reduced up to a whopping $12,416 with available 1.9% financing for 60 months. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. Remember, Sunbury Motors Ford gives you more for your trade.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.